Good morning.
Good morning.
That singing sounded wonderful. Thanks for those selections, Daryl. Welcome to the Alaska Travelers Back. We're glad you didn't get eaten by a grizzly bear or nothing like that, but welcome back from Alaska. We have a few visitors with us today. We're very glad to have you worshiping with us today. A couple of announcements real quick. Next Sunday is the area-wide singing, and the North Las Vegas Church of Christ is going to be hosting that. That will be at 2 o'clock, usually goes from 2 to 3. Want to encourage everybody to attend that. And in 2 weeks, David Phillips will be here holding another gospel meeting. It will be Friday evening, Saturday evening, and then he'll be teaching class Sunday and both lessons morning and evening. We're going to have that Sunday morning after morning worship, we'll be having a potluck. David and Beth are both going to be coming this year. And there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board back there. If you would, I think it's going to be an Italian theme. And so get your best spaghetti recipes out and lasagna and all that stuff. And if you would sign up so we know who's bringing what and be planning for that. That'll be in 2 weeks. Have a prayer request that I would like for us to mention before we get into our lesson. It went right along with our Bible class this morning, and I am sure we've all got a name that we could put in for this. This is a prayer that if we have loved ones, friends that need God in their lives. Chris and Karen Bullock submitted this on behalf of their son, Adam. And I'm just going to read what they put. This is a very heartfelt request for prayers. And like I said, I'm sure that we all have people in our lives that this could address. We would like to request prayers on behalf of our son, Adam Bullock, that he might yield to God in his life, that he might draw near to God, that he might set aside his pride and recognize that we all have sinned and have made mistakes in our lives, that we need God in our lives. For he is our creator, and as our creator, he knows what is best for us. And only through him and his son do we find peace, contentment, and hope. And they sign it, thank you, Chris and Karen Bullock. This card itself is a wonderful lesson. This is what we've been talking about, evangelism, in our Sunday morning class. That message that they want their son to know is a message that we can take to other people about that it's only through God, only through sharing the gospel and yielding to that message that we have any chance of not only salvation, but peace, contentment, and hope in our lives. Let's go with our brothers and sisters together in prayer for Adam, with Karen and Chris in prayer right now. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, first and foremost, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for the avenue of prayer that we can boldly approach your throne with the cares and concerns on our heart. Dear God, we pray on behalf of Adam right now. He has been taught your word. Please let him be influenced to yield to that word, to break his pride and do your will, not his will. Dear God, we ask that you be with Chris and Karen as they try to be the best influences that they can be on their son. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Christians, true Christians that may run across Adam in their lives, that they can be of a good influence also. That they may be able to say and do the things that will prick his heart to turn to you. Dear God, there are probably people in each of our lives that we feel this way about, like the Bullocks do with Adam. Help us all to try to be an influence on them and to hopefully turn their hearts and minds toward you. Be with us as we continue our worship. We hope everything today is done in spirit and in truth and is pleasing to you. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that prayer request. We will keep him in our prayers individually also. Last week, we started a lesson. We had a part one of a just say no. We looked at just say no to peer pressure. School is getting ready to start, and kids, get that strength up against peer pressure, because there's going to be kids that in your class sitting right next to you that may want to influence you to go down the wrong path, to do the wrong thing, to say the wrong thing, to use the wrong language, to say the wrong jokes, things like that. Just say no to sin. Just say no to being mediocre. Be the best you that you can be. You don't have to be the best. It's awful nice to be the best at something, but you know what's more important than being best? Being your best. Don't be mediocre. And just say no to the urge to quit. That hits a lot of Christians. They want to quit on their faith. They want to quit on their brothers and sisters. They get that urge to lose their belief in God. Or they lose that urge to quit belonging and contributing to the body. That's what we looked at last week. This week, I'd like to add a few to it. Just say no to distractions in serving God. We need to stay focused as Christians. This is one of the devil's biggest weapons that he uses, is getting you distracted. You're focused, you're on track, and he distracts you with something shiny over here. Maybe something of the world. He distracts you with worry. He distracts you with too much month and not enough money. He distracts you with cares and concerns of this life. It is one of the devil's biggest and most used weapons. And he uses it every day on us. We have to just say no to being distracted. In Nehemiah, people tried to distract Nehemiah. He was busy doing a good work, rebuilding Jerusalem. And And you can read about this in chapter 6 of Nehemiah. And in verse 3, people had come. They didn't want him to build the wall. They wanted to distract him by bringing, you know, getting him down off that wall. And they wanted to kill him. They wanted to distract him and get him off task. And it says, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah wasn't distracted from what he knew he needed to do. We have things that we need to do. The world is going to be full of distractions for us. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. This is calling. That is calling. God is calling. Say no to distractions. We saw Peter getting distracted. One of the greatest events, one of my favorite events of the New Testament, when Peter walked on water. The only other person to have done that was Jesus himself. And in Matthew 14, we have the account where they look up, they're in the boat, and they glance over there, and Jesus is coming toward them walking on the water. There's a miracle in itself right there. And Peter asked, Jesus, if that's you, let me come to you. Jesus says, come on. So Peter jumps out of the boat. And in verse 30, he is walking toward Jesus on the water and says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. He was walking toward Jesus and got distracted by the things around him. Maybe a wave coming up, splash him a little bit in the face. The wind, things around him was distracting him. He took his eyes off Jesus. And when he did, he began to sink. He was distracted. In Matthew 4, we see that the devil uses distraction to try to influence Jesus. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, getting ready to start his ministry. And the devil tried to distract Jesus with the three paths of sin that John talks about in 2 John, the second chapter. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And each time, Jesus stayed focused. He responded with each of those with scripture. He was focused on what he needed to do. You look at how many times, what a great example we have of Jesus throughout the Gospels. Jesus would say, my time is not yet. That my time is at hand. It is finished. He was always focused on one issue, doing God's will. Amen. He didn't let outside distractions take him away from doing that. Just say no to compromise. There is a fine line between yielding to other people in personal wants and desires. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go eat lunch? I'd like to go here. I'd like to go here. It's different. I'll yield. I have some definite preferences with where I like to eat. But you know what? I'm not going to draw. My hill that I'm going to take a stand on is not going to be that one. When it comes to compromise, do not compromise God's word. Pick that hill to draw the line on and take a stand. Take a stand when it comes to your integrity. It's taken you a long time to develop the character and reputation that you have. Don't throw it away like that. And that can happen. You can throw a lifetime of building up your integrity, you can throw it away in a moment. Say no to compromise, especially God's word. It will never be done here, or at least as long as I'm here. But we move around. We were talking recently about, you know, society is very transient. You know, we've got people, you know, we've got totally different people worshiping here than we did, say, just 4 years ago. Some people have been here for many years, but we've got new faces. We're going to have new faces next year. There was a time in history where people grew up and worshiped in the same church that their great-grandparents worshiped in. Those days are kind of behind us. Not that it can't happen. We move around. Our society, we get transferred in a job. We retire and go someplace else. Things like this. If you're ever in a congregation that you hear the words unity and diversity, let the red flag go up. If you ever hear the term, let's just agree to disagree when it comes to doctrine, let the red flag go up. You don't compromise God's word. You don't just go along to get along with things like that. In Daniel, we used this passage last week also. Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He made the decision ahead of time. He didn't make a decision when he crossed that path. When he got there, he'd already made the decision. His decision to follow God was already made. He doesn't have to cross that bridge and I wonder what, well, I'll deal with that when I get there in life. Life is a lot easier if your decisions are already made for you. And as Christians, our decisions should be already made, that we follow God and His word. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not compromise their integrity or compromise God's word. Amen. They refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar, even though it meant risking their personal safety in their lives. It turned out okay for them. God saw them through this. They were cast into the fiery furnace and they were saved because of it. They refused even to the point of death. Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death. Even if it would have meant death, they didn't compromise their integrity. Amen. Later on in Daniel 6, we see Daniel breaking the law of the land. Oh, we as Christians, we can't break the law. If it means breaking the law to keep God's law,
amen.
Absolutely. Daniel broke the law. They passed the law that if anybody worships a god other than the king, they will suffer fate for this and consequences. Daniel's not going to quit praying to God because somebody else says not to. He broke the law and he was cast into the lion's den. But we know he got out of that too. He never compromised God's word or his own integrity. Galatians 1, Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he is saying just a few years after their congregation had been started, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. It's not like there's different gospels. There may be different teachings. There's only one gospel.
Amen.
There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's only one gospel. There may be multiple teachings, but there's one gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul's saying, just say no. Don't do it. You were taught the truth. Stick to it. And he goes on to say, the very next verse, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Let him be accursed. And then he repeats it in verse 9. The scripture that Dick quoted, read today, Paul was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. You stand fast. You hold that line. You don't yield. You do not compromise. Another thing to just say no to is bad attitudes. This is something we can control. Bad attitudes. This is good for you. Don't be that grumpy, grouchy person that nobody likes being around. Have you ever, you've known those people. You might have been one of those in the past. Just that prickly, porcupine person that nothing ever suits them. They would find fault with anything. Don't be that person.
Amen.
You have a choice. Don't be that person always inviting people to pity parties. Always the victim. People don't like being around people like that. Always discouraging. Come up with a great idea and then you shoot it out of the water and shoot them out of the water. Your moods can affect others. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It all starts in your heart, your choice. The choice to have the attitude that you want or need. That same boiling water that softens potatoes hardens eggs. Nothing different about the water. It's not about the circumstance you're in, but rather how you choose to deal with it. That same water can either soften the potatoes or it toughens up the eggs. It's up to you. Philippians 4:4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. He wrote that from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And a few verses later, he'll say, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Meditate on these things. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the last thing I'd like for us to look at is just say no to gossip. Sounds like we're going to have some weather out there. Now grow, if you're a little older or have lived in different places, those, you know, for us it's flash floods. If you live in other places, Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, and you hear those, you're heading for the tornado cellar. You know, you're heading for the storm shelter. If you go back a few decades, those public service announcements were air raid sirens. You know, get ready for a nuclear blast, but hopefully we never heard those. Our last area we're going to look at, just say no to gossip. There's a fine line, and this may be another study someday. There is a fine line between two close Christians discussing an issue. There may be a difference between somebody going to an elder, a preacher, a more mature brother for counseling. But you know what? Most people know the difference. If a conversation starts out, "I know I shouldn't be saying this, but..." If a conversation starts, "God forgive me, but..." Chances are it's not counseling. Chances are it's not two close friends that you know it's staying there. And even if it is, ask yourself before discussing things. One, is it for sure true? Second thing, is it needed? Just because something is true doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be broadcast to everybody. Something might be true. It may not be public knowledge or needs to be public knowledge. And last, does it uplift that person? Does it encourage them? Think of it this way also. If you have information about somebody, the person you're telling may not want to know it. Because I will tell you, that person hearing it, it's going to change the way that person looks at that other individual. It may be true. They may not need to know it, though. What's between person A and B may not need to be known by person C. Just say no to gossip, and it takes two to gossip. There's the person yapping, but you know what? The person listening can shut it down real quick. You know what? I don't know if we need to be talking about this. You don't have to cut their head off for nothing. Just say, you know what? Let's talk about something else. We don't need to go there. You can be friendly about it. And that could end it and get the message out. It's a teaching moment. We don't need to help them stir the pot. Well, I don't know what this is doing. Okay. Have a couple of scriptures want us to look at real quick in just a second. My trusty technician back here is getting us online. There we go. Okay. Ran across this little cartoon. It says, sometimes my greatest accomplishment is just keeping my mouth shut. Amen. That sometimes is a big pat on the back. You may not have accomplished this big monumental task other than just keeping your mouth shut. I know sometimes that's the best way to go. Proverbs 6. Thank you, Preston. Proverbs 6. Did I do something that just a glitch in the... Okay. Worried I did something. Proverbs 6. This is some strong language here. I kind of got passionate and emotional last week when I was saying about how I hate quitters. Kind of struck home to some people, and I hope it didn't, hope you don't dislike me because of it. I did get a little passionate about it. God gets a little passionate about some things here. Says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination. That is some strong language right there. And he goes into some of these things that is an abomination to God. A proud look. A lying tongue. And a lot of times, gossip winds up being a lie if it's not true. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. A lot of times, that's the whole intent of gossip, is wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. And many times, gossip does that very thing. Sows discord amongst beloved brethren. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Just say no to gossip. Paul said to Timothy, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Just say no to gossip. It brings about nothing good. Just say no. We looked at four things last week, four things this week. Say no to distractions. Anything that gets you off the path. Just say no to compromise. Just say no to bad attitudes. And just say no to gossip. We're at the beginning of a new week, new day, new opportunity to do these things. Let's have an influence on others this week. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayer, through repentance, if you need to be baptized, whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and sing.